songwriter Coco O'Connor. Now, we're going to hear her in performance from Studio C and in conversation.
Hey, this is Coco O'Connor, and this is my song called Angels Come.
She keeps him on a tight leash, plays him like a backbeat. She's got 50 years of heartache on her side. She don't remember when it happened. It just happened. She let that fear of losing him eat her up inside. Angels come. Talk much to her children. There's 1,000 miles between them. She's got 50 years of heartache on her side. She don't remember when it happened. It just happened. They left home, they took her heart, and they took the life. Angels come.
Coco O'Connor, Turquoise is the first full-length album from you as performer and as songwriter, primary
yes.
songwriter on this. But you have a history, and when I first heard about you, I had the impression that you just sort of dropped into New Mexico from your lovely life on the road and in Alabama, and you were just sort of, okay, let's see what this state has to offer, mm-hmm. and I'm going to just start playing. And almost none of that is true, right?
Yes, I think, yeah, the land of entrapment has had me trapped for probably much longer than you perceive.
but you're entrapped in Cerrillos.
Yes.
And maybe that's why we haven't mm-hmm. seen you playing out, and I suspect that all of that is about to change now.
It is. Yeah, it's changing, and it's changing fast. I've been kind of, I guess you could say, holed up there. I have a recording studio, so it's a great recording studio, not like just a home studio. It's got this big board, this console, you know, tried in 80B that probably nobody will know, but
It's got a pedigree.
Yes, it does. Yes, it came out of the record plant in Sausalito, you know. And there's the myth that the part of Hotel California was recorded on it, actually. So it has a long history, and it happens to be in my living room. So being a writer and a songwriter and singer, it kind of makes it hard to leave that. But with these songs, they are definitely taking flight, if you will, and growing their own wings and getting out there.
Musically speaking, let's go back to when you were seven,
mm-hmm.
writing those
mm-hmm.
first songs.
Yeah.
You were informed as a guitar player and probably in your songwriting by bluegrass tradition
yeah.
in Alabama.
Definitely. I mean, that's how I learned to play the guitar.
But you are so. Much too young to be growing up with porch music or
mm-hmm.
anything like that. You're
yeah.
you're much too young to have had that experience. Yet, what was the exposure like?
Well, you know, I'm from the country. I mean, I grew up not in a major city. I was born in Birmingham, but I grew up about not even in a small town. My town was about north of Birmingham, but I actually lived 20 minutes. It's interesting. I kind of live like I do now, distance-wise, from Albuquerque, from Birmingham. So it's interesting how all that pans out. You know, I'm out kind of in the middle of nowhere, and my grandpa.
It's the difference between being way to hell
yeah,
and
yeah.
way to holy hell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like my granny said, my granny, she used to joke about how my cousins, some of my cousins, they lived in Hoot Owl Holler, and that was like, you know, that was like holy, you know, that was way out there. We didn't live in Hoot Owl Holler. But anyway, so you know, that I grew up, like I said, in the country. And I think a lot of it, not just bluegrass, but going to church with my granny on Sundays in the Methodist church and singing those old hymns where you just had, you know, probably more similar to porch music. You just had a real simple singing and a real simple, you know, hymns that you would sing, and they have the answers and stuff, you know, that comes back, which filtered into a lot of popular music eventually. But yeah, I think it comes from that.
And the storytelling, I mean, is that, so those of us who are not from the
mm-hmm.
South and we think of Southern culture, black or white, it's
mm-hmm.
storytelling.
Sure. Storytelling is just, like I said, I think it has to do with me being an only child and having to use my imagination to just create friends or circumstances or worlds that, you know, I found interesting.
How did some people will stay in that bluegrass vein forever, but you left it, picked mm-hmm. up electronic instruments, mm-hmm. did all kinds of solo instrumental work for mm-hmm. some of it for soul purposes, some
mm-hmm.
of it for commercial purposes.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like coming back to just you and this guitar now?
It's just like coming home. You know, it feels very natural. It feels effortless. And it feels like it's just a big relief, you know, just to kind of like, oh, okay, this is who I am. It was nice going on an adventure. It was nice, you know, exploring and seeing and or hearing all these new sounds and stuff. But it's nice to just kind of come back to a real comfortable space.
And you're doing some national touring. You're jumping in and out. So we're recording this in April, but Coco O'Connor could be showing up at your town any all time.
Yeah, the exciting news is that we have cracked the charts in the top 200. So we've got really good radio promotion going on for the first song off the record called Empty in California, and that's giving us some feet in footing in some other areas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's opening up some doors there. So
yeah, and you actually did record some of Turquoise on that famous board.
Yes.
and it does have this big sort of modern country sound to it.
Yeah. I mean, a lot, you know, you can definitely tell that nowadays country has a lot of that old school 70s rock influence, so it kind of translates really well, the sounds. And yeah, we did. We had some tracks. I mean, we had writers from Nashville, and my producer, Margaret Becker, came out, and my friend Billy Harvey, happened to be out too, and he works with Patty Griffin. He tours with her. He's a great artist in his own right. And he came out, and I was like, oh, Margaret's coming out, so come on, Billy, you know, let's do some, have some fun. So he came out, and the tracks that we recorded, you know, they were going to be just work tapes, but they sounded so good, and they were so irreplaceable that we just used them for the record. So
you as a songwriter, I mean, we're already hearing a balladeer sensibility,
mm-hmm.
To me,
mm-hmm.
at least a storyteller sensibility. Mm-hmm. But also you are not new to New Mexico, and mm-hmm. this you know, this is not, it's not like your first time around with turquoise.
Right.
You know, you
yeah.
probably know about five other names for that stone, I would suspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is informing your songwriting at this point? Because you have a whole other professional music side, mm-hmm. as a composer of instrumental music, mm-hmm. and you placed music in all these interesting places.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just so curious about how you can go from that almost working on commission type person, mm-hmm. to be the artist,
mm-hmm. sure.
in half a day.
Sure. You know, the music, the inspiration comes from where I live. It's simply the mountain. I live about a few miles up a road. I overlook Santa Fe on the Ortiz Mountains, and I believe that the mountain gives me songs. And it has for years, whether it's instrumental, whether it's just such an inspiring place that I've been, you know, put in, and blessed to be put in. So that's really where I draw a lot of inspiration from at the moment. Really, I've always been a songwriter. I've been writing since I was 10. So I wrote my first song when I was 10. So songwriting is really who I feel like I am, even much more than a singer, a songwriter at my core. And I love great songwriters like Dolly and singer-songwriters have always really inspired me, and I've always felt really drawn to those artists. As far as the composing and instrumental and that type of thing, what brought me back to turquoise was actually just a personal experience. My mom passed away probably 2 or 3 years ago now, and after that, we were very close. I'm an only child. So after that, I really kind of lost my desire to do much more exploring as far as music goes, like with instrumentals or electronic or that kind of thing, beats and things like that. I just kind of lost it. And I wanted to just get back to just who I was and what came more natural to me.
Well.
This is my song called Gone, and I think in this day and age, it's a really relevant commentary on, it's a song really close to my heart, but it's a commentary on how we are a little bit too involved in our devices. So here it is. It's called Gone again. Gone. I could not sell you on being the suffering kind. You're far too accustomed to fine food and wine. But you like the parties and that whole crazy scene. And I'd sooner go bankrupt than chasing your dreams. What do you do when you get lonely? That's hard to answer, 'cause you're never alone. And if I let myself slip away, you wouldn't even notice I was gone. You wouldn't even notice, so I was gone. You got the whole world in the palm of your hand. Cold glass and steel, your lover and friend. Well, I'm waiting in real time for you to look up. The real life is born.
That's hard to answer, 'cause you're never alone. And if I let myself slip away, you wouldn't even notice I was gone. You wouldn't even notice, oh, I was gone. A million miles sit between us at this table. Oh, you don't even try, maybe you're not able. Oh, to try and even feel someone who is real. So what do you do when you get lonely? That's hard to answer, 'cause you're never alone. And if I let myself slip away, you wouldn't even notice, oh, I was gone. You wouldn't even notice, Lord, I was gone. You wouldn't even notice I was.
And that is Coco O'Connor.